the global media is corrupt. The global media is spreading propaganda. And it is a crime against the people of this world that they are in control of the information and they're putting out lies. And how about Twitter and Facebook and all of those, you know, social media groups saying that the people on the right are putting out misinformation? No, we're putting out facts, and they just don't like the facts, and it goes against their narrative. But we will not back down, we will not shut up, and we will not stop until the people of America, and I hope other countries as well, start getting the truth about this agenda that our leaders are pushing, these globalist agenda that they're pushing. And the end game is that China takes control. And I'll be damned if I'm going to sit here and allow the CCP and the most cruel people on earth who enslave their own people, kill their own people, power-hungry, power-grubbing Communist Party out of China to take control of America.
Exposing the lies and propaganda of the mainstream media, that has been my goal since I left, and I'm very happy and proud to share that goal with a brave woman running for governor of Arizona. Welcome to Christy Lee Independent Media. That's KLIM.news. I'm very excited to welcome in the candidate for Arizona governor, Carrie Lake. Thanks for being here.
I'm so happy to be here. Good morning, Christy. How are you?
I'm doing well. I hope you're doing well. I know you have quite the circuit going on right now, but I wanted to get some more background. It's fascinating to me. I'm surprised it's actually taken this long to connect, because I know we share similar stories of just kind of being blindsided by how corrupt it had come. For me personally, it was really ramped up within the last year and a half or 2 years that I was in the business. Now, you'd been in the business for a long time as well. Were you always aware of some bias, or did you feel like it got worse in those past like year and a half, 2 years, towards the end of Donald Trump's presidency and this COVID thing?
You know, looking back, I've been in journalism for 30 years. And when I look back at when I first entered my first newsroom, of course, I'd always been a big fan of Ronald Reagan, and I voted for the first George Bush. And I remember in my first newsroom, seeing everybody was kind of on the Bill Clinton bandwagon. And I thought, oh, this is interesting, because it didn't seem like what I was seeing out in the public. But that was probably the first time I noticed, and this was back in the 90s, that there was a bias that leaned to the left in newsrooms. Of course, it became very apparent over the years that I was working with mainly liberal colleagues. But there were at least some and many common sense and some conservatives in there. And for a long time, I felt that they had a say in the type of news that was being put out. At least they were able to put ideas forth and have them taken and maybe even run with some of the ideas if they were somewhere in the center or right of center. And then towards the last, you know, since Donald Trump came on the scene, it just became completely, everyone, as I like to say, he cracked the shells off the nuts. And there are a lot of nuts in the newsroom. And really over the period of COVID is when my eyes were really opened. I always kind of thought I worked for the good guys, 22 years at the Fox station. It's kind of the more conservative leaning station. But during COVID, I realized there are no fair people when it comes to fair news in the world of COVID, in the corrupt news. It's all corrupt. It's all putting out an agenda. It's pushing fear. It's pushing division. It refuses to push anything that would give people hope or information on treatments that worked or interviews with doctors who were having success. And when I had that realization during COVID that there are no honest news entities in the corporate news world, I realized I had to leave. I had to get out because the work was immoral.
Now, for those that maybe responded with some criticism toward you, and one of those criticisms being that you were complaining about some bias and some agendas there, but now you're running for Arizona governor as a Republican. So for those that would say, okay, well, clearly you had some opinions and you had some bias that you could have brought to the table, how do you feel like you approached situations and stories, and how would you defend that in terms of objectivity?
You know, I think I was a fair reporter for 27 years covering Arizona. I always maintained objectivity. I was taught journalism, and then that's how you did it. And now they're being taught to be social justice warriors rather than journalists. So if you look at my time on the air, I think I treated everybody fairly. And I was aware of what my own bias was, and I approached every story understanding where I personally felt. If I felt this way about a story, I tried to hedge a little more this way so that I would find myself in the middle as I was presenting that story. And I think it's really important for reporters to understand their own personal bias. We're all human beings. We all have opinions. It's very important to check those when you're reporting on something. Check your opinions and just report the facts. And I don't think that's happening right now, obviously. And I'm seeing it. I'm out being interviewed by reporters, and I'm seeing the bias. It's so amazing. I did an interview yesterday, was it 2 days ago, actually, with the 60 Minutes out of Australia, and I've never experienced such bias in my life. I was embarrassed for the man. He could not get through the interview. He has Trump derangement syndrome. He is refusing to open his eyes to the truth of what happened in our corrupt elections. And he just completely lost control in this interview. I feel sorry for the people of Australia. They may even have worse, more biased media than we have here in America.
Absolutely. Now, before I want to talk about that, but before we do, I wanted to dig in a little bit to the decision of leaving news, because I know it was very difficult for me. It had to be difficult for you being at a top rated station. And as you know, and we all know that have worked in the news business, it's small. It is actually small. We're all a little bit aware of each other. So when I was a lead news anchor in California, I started hearing some rumblings about you, but you were still there, but taking time off, and there was rumors going around. Now, you had said that your time off had nothing to do with your ultimate decision to resign. Can you explain that a little bit further, of that time off period? And were you struggling with the decision then, or what was really going on?
No, once I made the decision that I was leaving, I realized I could not do that kind of work anymore. But, you know, it's a process to leave. It's a process. And I won't go into all the details, because you don't just walk away from a job like that there when you're under contract and things like that. So I'll leave it at that. But I realized that I would no longer ever be able to work in the corporate news. It went against my morals. It went against my beliefs. And so I walked away. It was a difficult decision. I made great money. I was a number one news anchor in the state, and had been for many years. And we were currently number one and doing quite well. So to walk away from a paycheck, to walk away from, great benefits, a great retirement, all of that was difficult. Of course it was. But we're at a point in our history where what good is all of that if we don't have a country to enjoy that in? And I realized that I couldn't enjoy that. I could no longer enjoy that lifestyle, that paycheck, if I was doing work that was immoral. So I walked away. Never imagined I would run for governor. But after walking away, I put out a video to let the people of Arizona know why I was leaving. I didn't want to just disappear and have people go, what happened? I wanted to let them know. Journalism had changed. It was no longer the work that I had signed up for. I signed up to be a journalist, and it was impossible to do that in today's corporate news world. And so it was difficult to walk away from that. And, you know, I think God had bigger plans for me now that I look back at it. I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. I thought I would go out and do some media training and work with some organizations to help them. And then I had that video that went out and went viral, and Arizonans started reaching out to me by the dozens, saying, thank you for your fair and honest coverage of our state. Would you please consider running for office? We need people in our public roles who are honest and have integrity. And at first I thought, well, this is kind of funny. No, I'm not interested in getting into the corrupt world of politics. I just left the really corrupt world of media. But it became a steady drumbeat. In the thousands of emails and messages I was getting, there were many people in there saying, we need someone like you to run for a political office, because we need honest leaders. And so I really took that as a sign that I need to inquire and look into that. And I did, and I pulled together a team, and it wasn't easy finding America First people to surround me with, but I did. And I threw my hat into the ring June 1st, and we have a full-fledged movement on our hands here in Arizona, a political movement like they've never seen before in this state. We have the people of Arizona soundly behind me, And they know in me, they're going to have a governor who will represent them, not a bunch of special interests.
Well, it is remarkable to see, but I wanted to ask you about the reaction from colleagues. So I had some that reacted very poorly, some that I'm still in touch with now. And I feel like the difference is I do support those that are trying to bloom where they're planted, that are still in the corporate system, but they're trying to do it fairly. And so those that take it personally, it's like, no, this is my issue with the structure, with the powers that be that are behind those individuals, and it's up to them to act fairly. So what kind of reaction did you get? Do you feel like you still have support from colleagues, that there were some that you were surprised by the reaction of you stepping away? Tell me about that.
You know what? I have relationships with the people that I worked with, and I really don't want to divulge my relationship with them because it's a personal relationship, and I still love the people that I worked with. So it's, you know, it is what it is. I walked away, and I think that some people who probably were very liberal don't like the fact that I'm a very outspoken candidate for governor, but I still love the people that I worked with, and I hold no negative feelings toward them. The grand scheme of things, I think that all journalists need to really examine what they're doing, and they need to realize that they're working for a corporate media entity that is very much about putting out false, fake news and propaganda. And they need to look in the mirror and decide if they can live with that. Because I think they're losing viewers and they're losing readers in all of the corporate mainstream media. And pretty soon, your paycheck won't matter that much if you can't look in the mirror and feel good about yourself. So I used to feel that people should stay if they need to, you know, you got to put food on the table. There are other jobs out there. I think that if you have a conscience, if you love this country, and you're still working in the corporate media, you need to reexamine your decision-making because it's not a good place to be.
Now, let's dive into your interaction recently with an ABC reporter that has gone quite viral. I want to play just a little clip of that, and we can talk about what was happening there.
Do you think Joe Biden is the current president?
Well, he's obviously sitting in the White House. Do you think he's the president?
I'm asking you, but I'm just wondering, do you think that if the 2020 election was stolen, is Joe Biden the president?
Do you think the election was stolen?
I have no comment.
Do you think that Joe Biden garnered 81 million votes?
And it goes on, the video goes on from there. But it's very great to see, because I love that you just turn it around and ask the questions back. She sounds like a real young reporter. Is that what was going on? She was
the producer for ABC News, Martha Raddatz, who's a, I guess you could say, a seasoned journalist, although I'm using that term loosely because I think she's more of a seasoned propagandist. Martha Raddatz, you might remember, was the woman who teared up on election night when she found out her candidate, Hillary Clinton, didn't win. And she was so upset that Donald Trump won that she actually teared up on election night, which is so unprofessional. But Martha sent her young producer to do the interview. And, you know, I have done this for a long time. I understand how this works, but I'm not going to let them drive their agenda. I'm going to give them some truth bombs, as they call it. And I think I was able to deliver that when I did the interview.
And then there's the other report that has gone viral. The video that you did with 60 Minutes, Australia.
Well, do you think they should be pardoned? Do you think they should be pardoned?
I have no say in that. I'm running for governor. This isn't something a governor does. You're trying to twist this interview and trying to make me look bad.
He's the Republican leader.
What I don't like is that people are being held in prison without being charged. That's un-American. Maybe they get away with that stuff in Australia. Perhaps in Australia, because you've given your rights away, you melted down all of your guns, and you guys have no freedom, that you find that okay. But here in America, we do things differently. We have something called the U.S. Constitution, and we have rights. And we don't take kindly, on Americans being locked up for months on end without being charged. So charge them, or get off the pot.
So we'd be better off having more guns here. I mean, what?
Yeah, you would. You absolutely would, sir. You absolutely would. I feel so sorry for the people in Australia. Have no power. The only thing keeping us from being Australia right now, or Canada, is our Second Amendment. And we will never, ever let that go. Mark my words. What we saw happening in Australia, where you have internment camps and people are being forced, if they've encountered anybody with COVID, to be locked into a quarantine camp, is the most horrifying thing I think I've ever seen a government do. It's frightening. And if you can't see that, I feel sorry for you.
Were you prepared for how that was going to go down?
You know, they always call really nice and say, hey, we want to do a report with you, Australia, 60 Minutes. We're talking about the death of democracy. And I thought, oh, how rich that Australia is going to tell us about the death of democracy. They don't have rights there anymore. They gave away their guns. They have no way to protect themselves against tyranny. And so I agreed to do the interview with 60 Minutes Australia, and I knew it was probably going to be a hit piece. I did not expect the propagandists that they put in to interview me to be so bold in his complete moronic line of questioning. It was like I was sitting across from a crazy man. I mean, I'm not kidding. I thought his brain had a malfunction. And I just could not believe my ears. And when we got up to leave, I told him 15 minutes is what we had. Had that on tape. He said, okay. He just threw a fit and started to just melt down at the end. So I encourage people to go to my Rumble page, Rumble, and it's Carrie Lake, K-A-R-I-L-A-K-E. You know, pop some popcorn, pour a glass of beer or something like that, and just enjoy, because this guy loses his mind at the end of the interview. And, you know, I'm not going to be stumped by these propagandists. They will not stump me, and I will not ever stop fighting back against them, because they are doing a disservice. And I used to think it was just to the great people of this country. But now, after that interview, I realized that the global media is corrupt. The global media is spreading propaganda. And it is a crime against the people of this world that they are in control of the information and they're putting out lies. And how about Twitter and Facebook and all of those, you know, social media groups saying that the people on the right are putting out misinformation? No, we're putting out facts, and they just don't like the facts, and it goes against their narrative. But we will not back down, we will not shut up, and we will not stop until the people of America, and I hope other countries as well, start getting the truth about this agenda that our leaders are pushing, these globalist agenda that they're pushing. And the end game is that China takes control. And I'll be damned if I'm going to sit here and allow the CCP and the most cruel people on earth, who enslave their own people, kill their own people, power-hungry, power-grubbing Communist Party out of China, to take control of America and to take control of our great states in America. We will fight for our sovereignty, and we will protect the great people of this country.
And I love the fighting words, and I love that you're framing it as fighting the globalists and these elites. And I think that is what many of us, whether on the right or on the left, and many of us independents, are wanting. And so for those that are just finding it hard to trust anybody, because there's been a lot of Republicans that have been huge letdowns and have just kind of carried the global and elitist frame of mind. For any of those that are finding it hard to trust someone, why should they trust you? Why should they know that they're not just going to get somebody that gets in office and then doesn't truly fight?
Well, I think looking at my history, I mean, I left a really lucrative career because I can't be bought. I can't be bought. I'm not willing to stay and do a job that's immoral. And so that says a lot. I'm running against a bunch of career politicians, lobbyists, and you have to look at their character. And why would I get myself into this nightmare of politics? Honest to goodness, I don't need the fame. I've already had that. Fame is overrated. And there's certainly no money in it. I will guarantee you, I think Arizona governor is one of the least paid governors in the country. If you're getting rich in politics, you're corrupt. I'm doing this because I love Arizona. I met my husband here, fell in love. We got married. We have two beautiful children. And I don't want to see our state turn into a blue state, turn into California. I don't want to have to rent a U-Haul, sell my house, and pack up in search of another free state. And so I am standing forth, taking my name ID, taking my love for Arizona, my understanding of the issues that we face, and I'm using that for the greater good to help restore our government here and return it to we the people. And so I think the people of Arizona understand me, but I also do understand that fear because we've been let down by our political class for so long. And that's why I suggest we vote that political class out, we vote out all the rhinos, and we vote out all the people who've lied to us, and there's a lot of them, and we vote in America First candidates, such as myself and many others who are running. I frankly want to see more moms running. I want to see more dads. I want to see more farmers running for office, more police officers running for office, more truckers running for office. I want real people, citizen politicians running for office. That is what our founding fathers envisioned. They didn't envision these 30-year career politicians who just want to stay at the public teat their whole life and get another public pension that we the people pay for. And we're tired of it. And that's why we citizens are stepping forward and saying it's time that we take a cue from our founding fathers and get involved and run for office.
What about those that are worried about their vote counting? Has enough been done to protect the votes moving forward so that we don't have to be so suspicious about what they're doing to possibly make our votes not count or inflate the votes on the other side?
Well, right now, as we speak, we have some really great men and women in our legislature who are working on some legislation to shore up our voting and make sure that it is more honest. And thank goodness we have them working hard. You know, will it get past our governor and will he pass some of this legislation? I sure hope so. If he doesn't, I think that makes him look very suspicious in the minds of voters. So we want fair elections. We had an audit here that was a gold standard, despite what the fake news has said about it. And when I'm governor and I take office January of 23, we're going to take everything we learned from that forensic audit and we're going to fix it, make sure there are no loopholes for cheating any longer. And any piece of legislation that shores up our voting and makes it more fair and honest, I will sign as governor. I hope they're able to get some legislation through this session to shore things up. And each and every day we're finding out more information about the corruption, not only in our elections, but in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and also Georgia, and many other states. Honestly, I think there is corruption in all states, to be honest, with the way our elections have been run. We must remember that the U.S. Constitution allows for only the state legislatures to make and pass election laws. It is up to our individual sovereign states to decide the manner in which our elections go down. And in Arizona, we had all kinds of people changing our election rules, attempting to change our laws, who had no jurisdiction or ability to do that. So any changes those people made are unconstitutional. And all the people want is an honest election. I love President Trump, and I voted for him every single opportunity that I could. But I would never want him to win in a fraudulent way, the way Joe Biden fraudulently won. I would never want that because I love this country far more than I love any politician or any candidate. And I think that the Republicans, the good conservative Republican, America First Republicans agree with me on that. We just want honesty and fairness in our elections. And that's for all Arizonans, Democrats, independents, and Republicans. This isn't necessarily just about the 2020 election. That's where we saw the rampant corruption and cheating. But this is about every election going forward. This is about every election that our grandkids will be voting in. We want honesty in our elections.
And I am going to wrap this up, but I do want to ask, since you brought it up, Donald J. Trump has given his endorsement. You are a big supporter of Donald Trump. But some have soured a bit on Trump because of the continued pushing of this vaccine that not everyone feels comfortable with. What are your thoughts on that?
I think people, if they've soured on President Trump, it's because the media continues to bash him. They're so worried about him. The president has always been about freedom and about you choose if you get a shot. That's what I'm about. If you want the shot, go for it. The problem is we need more information on that shot, and we're not getting it, and we're working really hard to get it. I love President Trump's agenda. I love his agenda, America First agenda. I think it's the greatest political movement that we've ever seen in our lifetimes. And it is the only way out of the mess we're in. We've seen our politicians sell us out. They sold out the working class to China They sold out our economy to China. They sold out our manufacturing, our jobs, our American companies have all been sold out to China. And we're tired of it. We're going to bring them back. And when I'm governor, we're going to start bringing manufacturing and jobs back from China. We will end all deals that we have with the CCP. And thank God for President Trump for waking us up to the nightmare that China truly is. They're the ones that unleashed this bioweapon on the world, this virus. And we are going to take back our companies. And I don't know how any American company or CEO can stand to keep any factory or plant or entity in China. It's un-American to do that. And so President Trump is really the America First movement. I think he's fantastic. I think his America First movement is amazing. And I haven't soured on him one bit. And I don't think that the American population has either. But the media is still doing a number.
If he gets another chance, though, do you think that he would approach it differently as far as really getting rid of the swamp? Because it seems like there was a few left in that maybe he could have done without.
Well, now we really know who those few are. Before, we know they seem to be friendly, and now we know they're foes. I mean, we learned on November 4th who a lot of the foes were. They immediately started stabbing him in his back. And so I think he's woken up to people who he thought were friends or allies and are really enemies. So, yeah, I think he's going to probably push a few people out who don't deserve to be on the inner circle. But I do believe President Trump will win in 24. And I think he'll come back with a vengeance. And I think we'll get a lot of stuff done and we will make America great again.
All right. I think that's a good way to end. Is there any other final thoughts you wanted to share or ways we can?
Well, in the meantime, I plan to win this election with the support of the great people of Arizona. And we're going to make Arizona great again. And we're going to bring back the power of our state right back where it belongs, right here in our state. We're sovereign and we're not serfs of the federal government. So I would ask anybody to go to my website, carrielake.com. You're right. I've been endorsed by President Trump, General Michael Flynn. I've been endorsed by Brandon Tatum, Larry Elder, Mike Lindell, Wendy Rogers. I could go on and on. I've got endorsements from Robbie Starbuck. I've got endorsements from, most importantly, the good people of Arizona. And I am the America First candidate and the only America First candidate running here in Arizona. And I am the highest polling candidate in the entire state. We're at over 40% in the polls, and the others are so far behind, but they're running and trying to act like they're America First. And I don't think the people of this state are buying it.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time to compare notes. And we need to get you off on the road again because there's a lot of work to do before Election Day.
There sure is. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet it. Thanks.